I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Mother's Day, at least here in North America, a day where we give thanks to God for the gift of our mothers, for the gifts of love, caring, and guidance along our way. And so when you come to church, you might expect the readings to be filled with warm fuzzies, but they certainly were not. We follow a lectionary or a schedule of readings that follow the life of Christ rather than the calendar, and as such, we focus on God's loving kindness through the power of the resurrection, especially in the season of Easter. But even that might have been hard to see this morning. The first scripture reading we heard was the rather gruesome passage about the stoning of Stephen. Because of his faith, Stephen was dragged to the outskirts of the city. The angry mob picked up stones and hurled them at him. It's a terrible image, and I apologize for reminding you of it again. But I thought about this passage a fair bit this week. How could people, faithful people, devout people, caring people, or really any person, pick up a stone, hold it in the palm of their hand, and then be willing to throw it at another because their understanding of faith in God does not match up with yours, or their understanding of the love of God does not match up with yours, or their understanding of the world does not match up with yours, or their understanding of the purpose of life doesn't match up with yours. It's hard to imagine that someone could be so angry that it seems right and fitting to pick up that stone and throw it. It's hard to imagine. But of course, this kind of violence continues day after day in our world. Perhaps not always with stones, but we still see continue to destroy one another even now, even on this very day, by hurling so many other terrible things at each other. Bullets still fly, as do bombs, and so many other weapons of destruction, killing hundreds, thousands of people because of desire for control, fundamentalist religion, greed, and many other reasons. And so stones are still picked up. People are still being displaced as war and violence still rule the day in many places, and refugees flee around the world, fearing those same stones. People are still starving on this day, and while we do not hurl stones at them, we continue to hesitate over whether we should help them. Essentially the same result. Currently, in the South Sudan, according to UNICEF, nearly 1.4 million children are at risk of death from severe acute malnutrition in Nigeria, Somalia, and Yemen. Leaders from the Anglican, Catholic, and Presbyterian churches in Canada have called on the government to commit more resources to relieve hunger and de-escalate civil strife in South Sudan. In the letter, they describe gross violations of fundamental human rights taking place in South Sudan as drought and war put a reported 5.5 million South Sudanese at risk of famine. Those stones are still being thrown. And in churches which are committed to the love of God, we continue to see divisions and deep anger over theological differences. Again, not stones hurled, but the anger doesn't seem all that different. And sadly, there are so many other things taking place in our world which are akin to stones being thrown at individuals or groups. Climate change, abuse, terrorism, racial hatred, differences in politics, the many forms of discrimination, homelessness, the list is rather long and worrisome. Stephen continues to be seen in the world. So what are we to do? The world is spinning on its axis. How are we to change these horrible events? Well, our second reading from the Bible for today offers a clue anyway, I think. Peter wrote, "Come to him, come to God, come to Jesus, a living stone. Though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and live like living stones. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Our calling is to be living stones that reflect the life of Christ. We are called not to be stones of hatred, torn down and thrown at one another, but stones that build up, strengthen, encourage, and see one another as God does. Stones that show grace rather than division. Stones that build schools rather than make weapons. Stones that offer hope, healing, and forgiveness rather than hatred, violence, and resentment. In the third Bible passage, the gospel reading, we heard these words that really popped out once again for me. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." In my Father's house are many dwelling places. It's something that I've read countless number of times at funerals, as the words seem to tie this world and the next in a beautiful imagery of moving on to other dwelling places in the life beyond this world. It suggests that the life to come is not simply a movement from this world to the next upon death, but that there are many rooms, many dwelling places, many roots even. And I like that. I looked deeper into that quotation from John's gospel and discovered a few things. First of all, that phrase dwelling places is translated from the Greek word mone, which means more of a night stop or a resting place or a station or for a traveler on a journey. So a stopping place may actually be a better translation. This is important as it points out that to get to the house of God, there are many stopping places. It's a journey. It is not but one place. In fact, some scholars feel that a better translation than "my Father's house" is actually "with my Father." In other words, according to a number of biblical scholars, that phrase may be better translated, "There are many stopping places with my Father." I'm convinced, actually, that this passage is not referring as much to the future life with God after death, but is about our present life with God here in this world. In other words, "in my Father's house there are many dwelling places" refers not just to the time after we have died, but about the here, now, how we live and act, how we accept God's love and forgiveness and live that out. Life is of course, a journey. There are places where we feel loved and wanted and encouraged. There are places, too, where we feel forgotten, bullied, pressured, rejected. There are times when we feel really alive, when love is fresh in our hearts, when we feel the sun shining every day. There are other times when the world feels a little darker and sadness hits us and grief is known. A relationship is not going smoothly. We can feel battered and bruised. The journey of our lives involves twists and turns and hills, snow and rain and sunshine. It's never a straight path and never a direct route. And the same is true of our journey with God. It involves twists, turns, growth, drifting, new vision, and new energy. It involves awakening ourselves to God's presence in good times and in bad. It is understanding that God is not far removed from our lives, but is with us here and now. With God, there are many stopping places. We are called to use the stones of this world to build stopping places of grace, not stopping places of division. And this is helpful for me. A little later in the same passage, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These words have been used to say that Jesus is the only way to God, the only truth of God, the only life of God, that Jesus was showing stones of division. I don't think that was Jesus' implication at all. He was saying that he was revealing the way that God hopes for all people. In Jesus' actions, prayers, thoughts, and teachings, he was inviting people to come and draw closer to God and God's hope for us. John Bell, the hymn writer and member of the Iona community, tells the story of attending a Christian conference and seeing someone wearing a t-shirt that said, "Jesus is the answer." And he wanted to say to the wearer of the shirt that Jesus is not the answer. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is our way. It's not by affirming that we believe in Jesus that we join him on the way, but rather by living as he did, kneeling down before his disciples and washing their feet, speaking to a woman at the well who was a well-known outcast and inviting her to be an incast, telling of the Good Samaritan who put aside differences and got off his donkey and knelt down and cared for the one in need, healing a young child, an old woman, a blind man, revealing compassion over and over and over again, having no time for injustice or hatred or quick answers. Jesus' life, death, and resurrections were signs to us that following Jesus is about following his way. Following his way, his truth, his life, being living stones or stones of grace rather than division. So on this Mother's Day, with these complicated passages of Scripture before us, we discover that we have a choice. Do we pick up stones to show our anger, even hatred toward another? Or do we use those stones to build stopping places?